Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I have been excited to talk to this guy since Saturday. The first guy I thought of, because we've had him on the show a number of times, he's one of the best personalities.
Oh, for sure.
Boxing is filled with personalities. Al Bernstein is one of them. We're going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Al Bernstein, Hall of Fame boxing analyst for Showtime. He's an author, a stage performer. Remember, he invited us to his show in Vegas last time we were out there. We went to the Golden Knights game instead. He is a great public speaker and a great radio guest, and Al Bernstein is there. Hello, Al.
Good to be with you guys again.
We love talking with you. And then so Saturday night, and then it was funny because I had texted you yesterday. Hey, Crowder and I were both off yesterday, but I was thinking, you know, hey, can you come on the show? And then I saw you tweet later on, getting a lot of requests from radio stations. That's probably good for the sport of boxing. So let's get your Hall of Fame opinion. Andy Ruiz Jr., he upsets Anthony Joshua. I think this is great for boxing and specifically the heavyweight division. What do you think?
Yeah, it shook things up. You know, as I pointed out, you know, you wouldn't be talking to me right now if Anthony Joshua had won that fight. And it was, it was a shocking result. Ruiz was certainly the underdog in that fight. It wasn't Tyson Douglas type underdog. It was more Haseem Rahman, Lennox Lewis type underdog. And most of the folks that cover boxing on a regular basis thought that Andy Ruiz had it in him to give Joshua some trouble during the fight, but I don't think many people thought he could win. And part of the reason also was he had 6 weeks to prepare for the fight, which is not really as much as you'd like. But nonetheless, he was able to get the job done, and it created so much excitement. And now, in the last several hours, Eddie Hearn, the promoter of Joshua, has said on behalf of Joshua they are triggering the rematch. So there will be a rematch probably in November of this fight.
And Al, why? Like, as you know, you watch way more boxing than we do. How did Andy have a chance of beating Joshua, who physically looked like he should not be in the ring with them?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Andy Ruiz is that his attributes coming into the fight were that he has good hand speed, he's resilient, he'd actually never been knocked down, and we saw both those things come into play. You know, his resilience was amazing because he gets hit with that really nice short left hook by Joshua, gets up, Joshua is overzealous in trying to get him out of there. Joshua landed a huge right hand shortly after that. I don't know if you remember that in that exchange. Joshua landed a right hand that should have knocked Ruiz down again and maybe ended the fight, but Andy Ruiz didn't go down. And instead, in that exchange, was able to land his own great left hook that hurt Joshua and ended up putting him down with a few more punches. So the resiliency of Andy Ruiz, his hand speed, and his ability to put punches together ended up being very important for him in this fight. And Anthony Joshua, it must be said, had a subpar performance in that fight. Now, it didn't take anything away from Andy Ruiz, who fought very well, but in addition, Anthony Joshua, from that third round on, was not very effective.
Hall of Fame boxing analyst Al Bernstein is with us. He had a subpar performance, like you say. Was Anthony Joshua unprepared, do you think?
No, I don't think he's unprepared. Yanni Hurd made the point. I'd like to tell you that he had a bad training camp, but I can't tell you that. I think he was prepared. But clearly something was off for Anthony Joshua. Whether it was mental or whether it was physical, he couldn't get himself focused. And even that left hand that he landed in that exchange, which is a very nice punch, there weren't there wasn't a lot like that in this fight for him. You know, he can box effectively. He didn't really do that, and he didn't really slug as effectively as he can because he can do both those things. You could chalk it up to a bad day at the office. However you want to look at it, it was, you know, needless to say, a damaging night for him. And as we pointed out, some of the things that happened to him were because Andy Ruiz had these skill sets. For instance, had he been able to had that second right hand that he hit Ruiz with, had that put Ruiz down again or ended the fight, we wouldn't be having this conversation, would we? But Andy Ruiz didn't go down.
And Al, on Twitter, you said that you're upset how people are covering Andy Ruiz Jr. Why is that?
Well, with all due respect, many of the mainstream sports talk show hosts on radio and TV have made some asinine comments about, I mean, one that we know of, whose name can't pass my lips.
I know who it is.
He who shall not be mentioned has done it, but he's just part of the issue. You know, this whole business of denigrating Andy Ruiz because of the way he looks and all the rest of it, and how it's, you know, it's somehow it's a punchline. I made the point in my tweet. John Kruk didn't look much like a body beautiful, but we all understood that he was an all-star, right? Fernando Valenzuela didn't look too hot in the uniform, but he was a great pitcher. So this idea to turn this into a punchline and suggest that, you know, compare Ruiz to Butterbean and all the rest of it, there was way too much of that, I thought, and I just don't think that makes any sense.
Al Bernstein is with us, the Hall of Fame boxing analyst for Showtime. So going into the fight, did you think to yourself, wow, Andy Ruiz is going to have a shot here? Or had you kind of dismissed it as everyone else, like, oh, here's another heavyweight fight, and I'll check back in a few months?
Well, I know. I thought Andy Ruiz would make – I thought he would – I said my tweet before it was that he was going to be a pesky fighter for about five rounds because of his hand speed, and would make things difficult for Anthony Joshua, but ultimately Joshua's power would probably win the day. And I think most of the boxing, people that covered boxing on a regular basis, probably thought that. Nobody thought Andy Ruiz was some lamb being led to the slaughter and he was going to get whacked out of there in a round or two. I certainly didn't think that, and most of my brethren did not. However, there were very few people that were actually picking him to win. For a variety of reasons. And one of the big reasons was, again, that, you know, he took the fight on 6 weeks' notice. Anthony Joshua has been, has been a terrific fighter.
Now, the rematch, this will be a huge media event, right? I mean, isn't this what we, you know, boxing fans, you know, we love the heavyweight division especially. Like, this has real juice now.
Well, the heavyweight division, to put it in context, here's what's happening in the coming months. In September, Deontay Wilder will fight Luis Ortiz in a rematch of their fight, which was very exciting last year, in which Ortiz had Wilder in trouble. Wilder came back to knock him out. It was a very, very exciting fight that we had on Showtime. That's in September. Then in November will be the rematch of Ruiz and Joshua. In a week or two, we're going to have Tyson Fury taking on Tony Schwartz, which, again, it looks like a match that Fury should win on paper, but we just went through one in which the same was true. If, in fact, Wilder and Fury remain undefeated going into 2020, they already have an agreement in principle to fight each other in February of 2020. So here's what the fans of boxing and the heavyweight division have to look forward to. Ruiz and Joshua rematch, Wilder and Ortiz in what could be a great fight, and Fury and Wilder fighting early in the year. That's a pretty good schedule.
And now the big boys are back because, like, Ortiz is an older guy, but Joshua's young. You know, Wilder's young. Ruiz isn't that old. Like, are my big boys back?
Oh, yeah, and also Dillian White is a very fine heavyweight. There's a couple of heavyweights like Dubois coming up. And Joe Joy, and there are a number of other heavyweights. So the division has life in it again, and And I think we're seeing a resurgence that should last for, you know, several years for sure. And when you add that to the fact that the other divisions in boxing have a lot of great fights on tap, and the fact that boxing is being shown in getting a bigger platform with ESPN and Fox and some other and other places, along with Showtime and DAZN, you know, the sport is in an uptick right now. And I'm not a cheerleader for boxing; I cover it, but honestly, objectively speaking, the sport clearly is in an uptick period.
Yeah, no, and it was certainly helped out Saturday night. I genuinely believe that because I had very little interest in the fight. And you're right; I don't think I would have texted you if Joshua had won. I don't think you'd have been doing a bunch of radio.
Right, if he'd have won as he was supposed to, unless something super dramatic happened, we would move on, business as usual. But this, you know, created all kinds of excitement. And it was an exciting fight on top of everything else. You know, it had that round three had many elements in it of drama. And so, it was a lot to be said for it. And on top of everything else, Andy Ruiz is a Damon Runyon character. You know, he's a very funny guy who has a dry, good sense of humor. Plus, again, he does look, let's be honest, he doesn't look like your average, he doesn't look like Anthony Joshua. He looks more like Tony Galento. And so you throw all that into the mix. He's the first heavyweight champion of Hispanic origin, of Mexican origin. And you throw all these things in, and it's created a kind of an irresistible brew.
Yeah, it's a guy that you can root for. We talked about it at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
I look at him, like I look at Anthony Joshua. I go, yeah, I can never be him. I don't care how hard I work out.
Right.
I look at Ruiz, and I'm like, yeah, I can root for that guy.
On top of all this, you have Anthony Joshua, who, while some people think he did it to extreme, was a true gentleman after the fight. And if anything, people thought he was probably too gracious and didn't show a urgency about the fact that he had lost. But you have that going on, and you have all these different heavyweights who are very different. Tyson Fury, the Gypsy King, quite a character in his own right. Deontay Wilder, a loud, bombastic American fighter who has had the title and is yearning for widespread approval, who's a big power puncher. Joshua, who we've outlined, or Ruiz, who we've outlined. We have a lot of fighters here that bring with them interesting backstories. And each are physically different, mentally different, and in terms of their origins are different.
Al Bernstein, the Hall of Famer, we love having you on. Now, you're also a bit of an actor as well. You've got your IMDb credits and whatnot. So quickly on the way out, I've got to ask you, have you seen the movie Godzilla?
I did not, no. I've not yet seen it. Friends of mine have seen it. What did you think?
I was in pain. I felt like I was being tortured. I was having a panic attack because I wanted to get out of that theater so badly.
Yeah. Some have reacted that way.
Oh, my God.
The movie I'm anxious to see is Rocket Man. I think that's probably going to be a good film.
Yes. I want to see that very badly. Have you ever walked out of a movie that you've paid for? The very few that I've ever actually walked out of.
It's funny you're saying that. I've walked out of, oddly enough, I adore Westerns. I love Westerns more than life, you know. The only thing I love more than Westerns is music and performing. And I walked out of the Kevin Costner movie Wyatt Earp. It was so long and pedantic that I just had reached the point where I couldn't bear to be there anymore. And I'm sorry to say that because I love Westerns so much. But that was a movie that I did walk out of. Normally, I would never do that. Would you? Would you think of doing that? I usually don't.
Right. So that was like this pull that I had yesterday because I was there. At my 15-year-old son was with me. He was bored out of his mind. My wife hated it, but I couldn't bring myself to walk out because, like, where was I going? I had nowhere to go. We had, I was like, what was I going to do?
It's weird. That's almost like an unwritten rule. You feel like, all right, I'm here. I have to see it through. There might be something redeeming about it, and you just do. And it's strange. That's a strange phenomenon. But most people would say they haven't walked out of very many movies. But yeah, I heard Godzilla. I know is very polarizing. And Rotten Tomatoes, I think, had it at 41%. So Well, a friend of mine who was at it, another friend there had gone to the bathroom, and they came back, they leaned down and said, did I miss any plot development?
I actually asked my son, can you go out to the front and get me the 3D glasses? Because I'm like, this can't be this bad. I think I'm seeing the wrong pressing of it or whatever. I think, right. Like, Al, I was having a panic attack in the theater because I wanted to get out of there so bad, but couldn't bring myself to get out of there.
You're stuck and you can't get out. No, that's amazing. And you know, the last Godzilla movie, the previous one to this, where Bryan Cranston had a brief role, wasn't a bad movie. That was a few years ago. But this one, I know, is not met with great reviews.
Oh, just terrible. Just terrible. All right. Thank you for making time for us, Al. I know you're busy.
Always good to visit with you guys. You take care.
Thank you. Al Bernstein there. He is great because he can talk about anything.
Oh, yeah.
I love him. He's just he's got everything. He's got a little bit of everything. That's when he really lit up was talking about the entertainment.
Oh, yeah.
He was doing
that's the job.
He was doing his boxing analysis.
Did he say he loves Westerns more than anything?
Yes.
Okay.
You don't like Westerns?
Not more than anything.
Okay. No, and that's fair. There's very few things I like more than anything.
He can enjoy Westerns. I love Westerns more than anything.
Yeah.
I think he was talking about movie genres.
I think he didn't finish the sentence. I like Westerns more than anything else in entertainment.
Yeah.
Something along those
lines.
Funny
thing. I didn't want to call that out. He was rolling. I love Wyatt Earp.
That movie with Kevin Costner? I've never seen it.
Pretty good. It's a Western. It's the woman at home, you fighting.
I don't think I've ever seen a Western.
Really?
Yeah, that's not my wheelhouse.
Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, he's in Westerns. What's happening here?
Are we yelling out Westerns?
I don't know what we're doing. Are you playing Pictionary or something back there? Solana's been with us for 2 hours and 18 minutes. Earlier in the show, people were texting in, you found another one?
Marty McFly.
I don't think Marty McFly's a Western.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.